Welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. My name is Uzi. I created this podcast to talk about amazing Africans who are doing wonderful things all around the globe. These are everyday people like you and I who are making a difference in the fields of business, science, and the arts, and living their lives to the fullest. I really hope that they inspire you as they have inspired me. So sit back and enjoy every single episode because it's made with lots of love. Today I have two special ladies. I met them on the gram. They have such an amazing thing going on. I can't wait for you guys to hear from them. So I came across this page on Instagram. It's called Just Moved to Yankee. And I was like, and I wish I had this when I first came to America because I made a ton of mistakes and you guys have really amazing stuff on there. But welcome, Kemi and Dumebi. You guys are welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So how did you guys meet? So Kemi, how did you meet Dumebi? Are you guys like sisters? Are you just friends? Like, how did that happen?
We're friends. It's so funny. I met Dumebi like, how many years ago now? Is it up to 5 years?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, I moved to Dallas for grad school. And when I moved to Dallas, I didn't know anybody.
Okay.
I applied to the wrong school. I thought I applied to Dumebi's school. That's UTD. And not knowing the University of Dallas. So I went to University of Dallas to talk to the admission office and to find out why I didn't get like a letter or something like that. I got a letter from a different school. So I met someone there called Bola. So Bola was just telling me, oh, she's from Nigeria. She's from Lagos. And I told her, oh, I'm from Abuja. And she's like, oh, okay, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to find out why I didn't get like an admission letter. I didn't get a rejection letter. Like I was just there. I was just being curious. So anyways, Bola and I stayed like talking and she told me, oh, she lives here. She has a roommate called Dumebi that, oh, I should stop by the apartment. And I stopped by and I met Dumebi. And Dumebi and I were there talking and we found out that, oh, we have a lot of similarities. And Dumebi is in finance and I'm in finance. So I was just like, so we always talk about investments, everything. So wow. That was how we met. Then we just clicked from there on and Dumebi, you can tell your own side.
Go ahead, Dumebi. Tell me how you met. So this is like 2015, right? You just moved.
I believe so, yeah.
So did you just move to America in 2015 at the same time as Kemi did?
I moved in 2011.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but I was in West Virginia.
I moved in 2014.
Okay.
I lived by myself for the first year and I didn't realize how lonely you could get. Like I was so by myself, soaked in by myself. And then the next year, I'm like, okay, I need to find a roommate. Bola came. Bola is the person Kemi talked about. Bola came. Bola and I were roommates. And it was through Bola that I met Kemi in 2015. Yep.
That's interesting. Like, and I'm guessing maybe you moved primarily for school, right?
Correct. I moved for grad school.
Right. A lot of times when I meet people who have just moved from Nigeria, I always ask them why the US, right? There's so many countries, right? But I noticed that with Nigerians, we always choose either America or UK, right?
Right.
But yeah. For you, maybe like, why did you choose to come to school in the US?
I always knew that I was going to go to grad school. Mm-hmm. And like most Nigerians, my options were UK, Canada, and the US. My older brother at the time was rounding up his master's degree at the University of Coventry. And I actually got admission into one school in the UK. I can't remember which one now.
Right.
So he was like, if you really want the work experience, I don't think the UK is for you. The UK admission process is a lot easier, a lot faster. But if you really want that work experience, I think you should focus on the US. He was moving. So, you know, then in the UK, once you graduate, you get like 6 months or so to work. So he was moving back to Nigeria and he wasn't happy about that. And he said, if you really want the work experience, which is one of the values of getting a degree abroad, I think you should focus on the US. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was why I chose the US over the UK. Or Canada.
Okay. So now we know how you guys met. In America, all of a sudden there's Bola and then she connects the two of you. For you, like Kemi, what was your life like in Nigeria before you moved to America? What was that transition for you like?
Basically, I graduated high school at the age of 14. I was almost turning 15. Wow. So I got admission into the UK and they had this thing that, oh, because of my age, I have to do a program. And I think it was A-levels or something. they told my dad, and my dad is like, okay, why would I spend so much money for you to go and do A levels? And like, it doesn't make any sense. So my dad is like, okay, what I can do is you can go to a school in Nigeria, because I didn't write the JAMB, I didn't write the NECO. So I was kind of lost. There's a school called American University of Nigeria. Most people call it APTI. Okay. So they admitted me without JAMB or NECO, and they're like, okay, you can just do like 1 year here, then maybe you can take the JAMB or something. But they never really asked. So because my WAEC was really good. Oh. So I went for like 6 months. Then a friend of mine in America, she reached out to me. She was in a school called University of Charleston. She reached out to me and she's like, oh, do you want to come to America to study and everything? And I'm like, yes. And she's like, you know what? I'll apply. I'll get everything together for you. All you have to do is just like pay like the fee, like your service fee. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. She applied. I got in. I sent her my transcript, everything. And she submitted it to like her school. And I got in. And she's like, do you want to move here? I'm like, I've not asked my parents yet, but I can show them the admission, because they already have the whole plan for me that when I turn 16, I can move to the UK. So I showed my mom. My mom is like, you don't really have family there, so who are you going to be with?
Yeah.
Like, she was just scared. And my friend was like, oh, she's going to take care of me, everything. And my mom was really, really scared. And she's like, okay, we're going to allow you to come to America, but we'll come and see you like every 6 months. So you're not like, because I was always breaking down. Like, I'll always cry. Every time I'll cry, because I had like a cousin in Virginia, but I was just missing my parents. Mm. And I was in West Virginia with like my friend. And funny enough, when I got to West Virginia, I found out that, oh, my roommate, she's Nigerian too. So I got along with my roommate, and that was how like I had like my whole friend group in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And that was how I moved to America.
Wow, that's an interesting story. Like, for a lot of us, like, we graduate and then NYSC, and then so you come to America, you're a little bit more mature, you know what I mean? So it's not like culture shock is not that bad, but for someone moving to America, mm-hmm. like at a tender age, that must have been crazy. So I always ask people about the culture shock. Like, when you move from Nigeria to a culture like that, like the one they have in the US, like there's so many things that are totally different, right? What was the biggest thing for you to maybe that you'd say this was like the hardest thing to adjust to, just moving from Nigeria to the States? Like, what was the hardest adjustment that you had to make?
That's a great question. I think for me, it was just not knowing everybody. So I actually went to Babcock University. I graduated with a first class.
Oh, wow.
So everyone sort of knew me. I had a lot of friends, but coming to the US, it just felt like starting all over again. No family, no friends. It's building your life from the beginning, from the scratch. And I think that was the biggest adjustment for me. It was actually the first time that I lived by myself in my apartment. So there was a good and bad side to it, but I think that was the greatest culture shock for me, just packing up and starting all over again. From scratch, by yourself, right. Figuring things out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a last born too, so it was scary. It was scary. But look at me, 6 years.
Looks like we have a lot of things in common. Like, I also graduated from Babcock University, but that was way back when, like 2008. Yeah, I think it was 2008. Wow. And when I moved here too, I also felt incredibly like isolated. I think that's a common thing for a lot of people that move out here. For you, Gabby, I know you moved out here really, really early. So you probably didn't have a boyfriend in Nigeria. Did you have a boyfriend before you moved out here? Or what was that like?
No, I only had...
Kimmy, are you sure?
This is a podcast. People are going to hear it. So did you have a boyfriend in Nigeria before you moved to the US?
It was easy for me to move because I'm like, the only people I know in Nigeria are like my family and maybe a few friends from high school. But like my main friend, because we went to junior high together, like she was in America. She was in America. So I was just like, okay, I have one friend at least that I can rely on. So we just basically, when I moved, the both of us, we just had each other. So it was like, okay.
Right.
Charleston is a state without Africans. Charleston, West Virginia, not right, a lot of Africans.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you've had your first ever relationship out here, and you probably didn't have any experience with dating in Nigeria. So for you, it's going to be a little bit different from what Dumebi probably experienced. So what's your impression about dating in America, Kemi? And I know you can't compare that to Nigeria, so you have a unique position, right? I'm guessing you eventually dated someone out here, right?
Yes. Like the culture shock was like, after like a few dates, asking you, how are you in the U.S.? That was like, I'm like, what do you do? And I'm like, because most people, they think like, oh, you're trying to get papers or something like that. So that was like my biggest culture shock. And the fact that sometimes, like, while I was trying to, like, find the one, like, the fact that sometimes you have to split the bill. I've been on dates where I had to pay. Mm-hmm. So I paid for both of us because I'm like, why are we splitting $50?
Like, that's your pride there. That's
like I went on this date and the guy was like, okay, you had more food than me.
What? That is low. That's a new low.
Yeah, my friend is like, you would have seen like the red flag when he said, I don't eat after 6 p.m. on the dinner dates. Like, that was like a good one. Now I'm like, okay. And he was calculating like what he had and was everything was just $50. And I'm like, you know what? Don't worry, I'll pay for it.
Oh, you have money. So
no, it was like a big culture shock.
Yeah, that's a huge one actually. The thing about dating, I find with Africans or Nigerians is when they start to date, they are drawn to other Africans. So you're drawn to your country, or even if you're drawn to your tribe. So your first couple of dates, were they like to other Nigerians, or did you find yourself dating outside your country now? Were you more experimental when it came to dating?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to, like, moving here, I didn't want to like have just like Nigerians around me. I wanted to like, okay, move out of that, my comfort zone. So I dated someone out of my race. And which was weird. But that was like in college. But after dating like people out of my race, my culture, I was just like, you know what, I think Nigerians are the best people for me. They understand my sense of humor, like we joke, like we get each other. So that was like the main thing for me.
Right. So how about you, Dumebi? I know that's your first class product, right? And people that graduate with first class, they're usually bookworms. And this is like a stereotype. It might not be true. I'm guessing, and this is me guessing, I probably will ask you how it really was. But I'm guessing in Babcock, you were like very studious, like all about your books. And I don't know if you had a boyfriend back then. And then you moved to America. Like, how did that transition happen? Did you start, dating actively? Or did you continue a relationship, like, long distance from Nigeria? Like, how did that work?
I actually have a funny dating story. In school, in case my mom is listening to this podcast, I did not date anybody. But
oh, we're still doing that?
Well, yeah, I had a boyfriend.
Okay.
Nothing serious. I mean, I don't think I was a bookworm. I like to think of myself as a pretty balanced person. So I think I was balanced. I read, I had fun.
Right.
I was a balanced person. But crazy story. Before I graduated, I met someone and we started dating.
Okay.
And he told me he was moving to the U.S. for school.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, okay. I actually have plans to move to the U.S. And we took our GRE classes together. Mm-hmm. And he moved a year before me. We're in a long distance relationship. And then I moved. So you know how you think Texas is just one small place.
Mm-mm.
But he said he was moving to Texas. I'm like, oh, I'm moving to Texas too. In Texas, he's in is like 8 or 9 hours drive from me. I'm like, okay, this is long distance in the same state. But I mean, it didn't work out. The next person I dated is actually my husband. My husband is Yoruba.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, congratulations. I didn't know you were married, so that's good to know. Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Welcome back to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I've been speaking to two amazing ladies, Kemi and Dumebi. They are the founders of the Just Move to Yankee platform on Instagram. It's an education and lifestyle platform committed to helping Africans actualize their dreams of studying, working, and ultimately living in the United States. So two of you met each other in America, and you decided to create a platform called Just Move to Yankee, right? And I found that on Instagram, and I really love it because you guys put really good information out. It's a lot of confusion, especially for immigrants, just wondering what's the next step, you know? And just going through your page, the first thing I did was I sent that link to someone. I was like, you need to follow this page, you know, because it's a lot of good information. So like, Kemi, why did you guys decide to create this platform? Did you have like really horror stories about, you know, when you moved out here that you just didn't want people to experience that as well? Like, what was the motivation behind creating that platform?
When I moved to America, I moved to West Virginia, and do you know, I never heard about STEM. I never heard anything about STEM. When I was picking I was undecided for 2 years. Wow. While I was in college, I was just taking like general classes, and like the international office, they were not like the lady, she was terrible. No, I'm sorry to say she was terrible, but anyway, she got fired. But like, I never knew anything of like CPT or anything like that. I was just on my own. Like, I didn't know anything. So I studied accounting. If I knew about STEM, maybe I would have done something on the STEM.
Yeah.
So like, I was lost. So I just thought like, okay, the American system, after you graduate and you get like something, maybe a green card or citizenship. I didn't know about the process. So after I graduated, I was like, okay, what am I doing next? I knew, okay, I wanted to do my master's immediately. So I moved to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to Dallas, I started like talking to people, and people were like, oh my God, do you know about STEM? It allows you to stay for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? And immediately I signed up for a master's program that information technology and management, so I can be under that STEM bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So like those things, like I'm like, if someone gave me that information, then I would make like a lot of mistakes. I would have done like an internship while I was in college. I would have had like maybe two internships, which will like help me to get like a job. Not saying like my mistakes, they helped me to get like the job I have right now. I'm able to tell people and explain to them that, okay, this is what you need to do. Like, you need to keep up with, like, you need to keep up with your application. You need to keep up with internships and everything. I'm not going to even stay here and say, okay, I regret it. But I have friends that made that mistake with me. It didn't end up well for them.
Yeah.
So when I met up with Dumebi and we talked about it, she said she has an idea. So we're like, okay, why don't we turn the page you currently have right now? Because she was still exploring and everything. I'm like, let's turn it into something that we can help people, because we know we've been through it and everything. So we have like tips to give people. So that's it.
Wow. I wish I had that. Just moving to America, I wish I had some kind of direction. I mean, for me, my program was pretty much set. So I knew what program I wanted to go into, but there's so much more that you put on your page that's helpful. Yeah. We'll talk about this whole COVID-19, you know, time and just what you guys are doing right now. But where do you see this platform going? Like, what's your goal for this platform? What do you want to achieve with this Just Move to Yankee platform?
We have big plans for this platform. We hope that we can build it as a safe community. Okay. Like we mentioned, coming to the US, you feel incredibly lonely, and it's amazing the number of people that have sent us messages like, hey, thank you so much for this page. Mm-hmm. I have been feeling alone in New York because I didn't have people that could understand me and relate to me. Mm-hmm. But just following you guys, I feel like I have new sisters.
Yeah.
Something that's small, but it's incredibly fulfilling to us. So mm-hmm. we hope to grow it to be a safe community. Mm-hmm. We hope to grow it to be a one-stop shop for international students, where you can get information before you move, while you're here, and even after you graduate. Mm. We have plans of growing it also to reach out to employers who are looking to hire diverse talent and do not have a problem with filing work visas for people. So we have great plans for this community, for this platform, but we're willing to take it one step at a time and build and tweak as we go.
Right. That's a really good one. Just looking back, all you've experienced, Kemi seemed to have a really horrid experience just moving here and just trying to figure it out. If you could speak to someone who wants to move to America, by all means, like she's young, she's looking into moving to the US. What's that one piece of advice that you would give her, Kemi? Just one thing that you feel like she should remember, or he should remember actually, or just be aware of, you know, about moving to the United States. Like,
this is my opinion. I feel like it's not all about passion. Mm-hmm. It's not all about like passion. You have to, if you're moving to America and you want to stay, it's not all about passion. You can have your passion and, but just like position yourself well, so like you can stay here and also like explore your passion later. Like most people, they want to move. I'm like, okay, so what do you want to study? Communication.
Mm.
It's not like communication is a bad thing, but
I like communication.
What?
I like communication.
Yeah, but you have bills to pay sometimes. That's
you
why
have I have bills to pay.
You have to say, like,
yeah, you have an accent and communication is not on the stem. It's not on the stem. You have an accent and like most people, like I'm not saying people don't try it by studying communication. I'm saying like, okay, you need to look at the pros and like, okay, why communication? Communication is not something that, okay, if I don't study communication, I cannot become somebody in communication. Like that's not it. Like you have to explore, like, okay, how can I stay? Let me major in something that will allow me to stay for 3 years. Right. Within that 3 years, you can take classes to help you with that communication and you can go into that field, but you have to think about how can I stay? Maybe, I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with you. I agree with you. For me, I would say it's important to know what you want out of moving. Why do you want to move?
Mm-hmm.
And make your decision based on that. Moving to America does not automatically make your life better.
That's yes. true.
You need to position yourself, like Emmy said.
Mm-hmm.
Determine why you want to move. Have a game plan. Have a strategy. And for me, I would say the biggest thing is, if I would tell someone, I would say, know yourself. It's easy to get carried away
mm-hmm.
when you come to America, when you meet different people. And only if you know yourself would you stay grounded to your principles and all that good stuff. So yeah, I would say have a reason, have a plan, and try as much as possible to know yourself. And yeah, that's it.
When we read like our DMs and we know like there are some times we can't help people because we're just like, when Dubebe and I talk, we're like, oh my God, what they studied and everything, yeah. How can they stay? And mm-hmm. it breaks our hearts because we know that sometimes we can't really help.
Right.
We can't really help because it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late to like start saying, oh, you need to do this. And people come up with like different ideas. What do you think if we do this? And we don't want to give you the wrong answer. So yeah. we try our best to make sure that, okay, before you make any kind of mistake,
mm-hmm.
let's give you all the facts.
Right. I feel like I understand what you mean. Like, you know, it's not like in Nigeria, when you live in Nigeria, where if you can't pay your rent, you can always go back to your parents' house, or you have a village to go to, or you have relatives that you can live with, you know, for free. But in America, it's not like that. Like, if you don't pay your bills, they cut your light, they cut this, they cut your, you know? So it's like, it's, and you don't really know anyone. So it's a big decision when you're moving out here. So I think a lot of people just don't get how difficult that is. And I understand when you say that it's not all about passion sometimes. Sometimes you just have to survive first and figure it out. Yeah, that's true. And here's another thing that people always ask me about. You know, someone, when I first moved out here, you know, people can be rude sometimes. Someone was like, why would you move so far away from your family and you're studying and you're probably not going to go back? Like, and that's, a lot of us who move from Nigeria, we find a better life here. And to be honest, it's not a lot of people rushing back to go back to Nigeria to work. Why do you think that is? And do you see yourself moving back to Nigeria? Let me start from Kemi.
Right now, I don't see myself moving back to Nigeria. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't even know how to act when I move back. Because I have friends that are in Nigeria and they just think like I'm a different person. Mm. I'm like, no, it's just like, I just don't know how to. There's some things I can't relate to anymore because I've stayed here. And I've seen how things work here. So it's very different. I don't even know where I would start from. And it's easy to fall in love with America.
It is.
When you make friends and you just know how easy it is. You can wake up in the morning. You can wake up at like 2 a.m. and go into Walmart. You can like order food at like 5 a.m. in the morning. Like life is just easy here. It's not easy in the sense that it's just easy to get things.
Right. Things actually work.
Like, yeah. Like it's just. So I'm like. If I go to Nigeria, people might just be bougie. I don't even know. Because I'm still the same person. It's just like, I don't have that same connection with some of my friends in Nigeria. Most of my friends are here.
Right.
It's just easier for me to stay here.
Yeah, I understand you. I understand you. And maybe I started a family. So that one is like, I don't even know if I should ask you if you...
Funny enough, I want to move back to Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my husband actually wants to move back, but...
When we see you going to the airport with your bag, then we'll believe you.
I don't want to move back now, but...
Okay.
I probably have like a 5 to 10 year plan.
Okay.
Moving back, yeah. I'm an economist, so I'm passionate about developing underdeveloped countries. So a part of me is still... My heart still breaks for all the things that happen in Nigeria.
Right.
I feel like I do have a part to play. So in my long term, yes, I plan to move back to Nigeria. Right. I don't know when, but yes, sometime in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't we all?
It seems like you don't have plans to move back to Nigeria.
I plan to. Like right now, I feel like I'm a citizen of the world. And and I can live anywhere. But I'm also very passionate about Nigeria. Unfortunately, the thing is, I want to move back when I can make an impact. And I feel like I need to build up myself to a point where even when I move back, if things don't work out, I won't be too disappointed. I feel like if I move back now and things don't work out, I'll be like, oh my God, Ozzy, you're just like, this is crazy. Why did you do this? You know, because I don't have a backup plan. So I feel like if you move to Nigeria, you must have a plan for generator. You must have a plan for when people like, you know, there's so much disappointment sometimes. And I feel like I'm not there where I can like take those shocks. So I want to have a backup plan. So if it doesn't work out, at least I have some money saved. I work in a research lab and we do a lot of research, like experiments, and that kind of biomedical research is not really well funded in Nigeria. So for instance, I don't think they even put aside so much money to, even with the COVID-19, let's use that as a classic example. With the COVID-19, I feel like we have researchers and scientists in Nigeria who can be looking into this stuff as well. We don't always have to rely on WHO to do the experiments and tell us what it is. You know, in Nigeria, they're at such a strategic point because according to the numbers, not a lot of people are getting sick. So we have, it's like gold. We can find out why. I feel like it's such a strategic position, but they're not taking advantage of that. So it's very frustrating for me. You know, so I will move to Nigeria if I have the funds to do that kind of research, or if I have someone, if I can convince the federal government to even put money, even if it's malaria, like something that we suffer from all the time, we can put money to do that research, find out why, how we can stop that. I feel like that's just low hanging fruit, but you know, it's so frustrating sometimes. So I don't really want to move back and be frustrated. You guys have your life figured out, so I'll be sending you emails and asking you for funding. So yeah, we'll see. All right.
I don't want to ever regret it.
Yes, it's, I don't know. I feel like, So do you guys have that where people are always constantly calling you to find schools for them? And do you have like consultation, like have you set it up as a business where you actually help people apply to schools and things like that? Like what kind of services are you guys looking to offer, you know, international students?
The next time someone reaches out to you, please send them our way. We'll charge them a small fee and do the job for them.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, people do not like to research. So one of the services we offer is helping them select schools. And not just because it's difficult to find a school. I feel like as international students, it's important to select the right school. Mm-hmm. Some schools have great international students offices that direct you, help you with immigration stuff and all that. Some schools, not so much. Okay. Some schools have great networks that can connect you with jobs. Other schools, not so much. So I think as an international student, the school you go to can make or mar your journey in the US. So what we try to do is point them to schools where we know that the alumni network is great, the international student office is also good. And if you graduate from this school, your prospects of getting a job are high. So right. Apart from just going online to find a school, we try to be strategic, find the schools with the right courses and all that.
What is your target audience for your page? Who are you guys looking to work with?
Okay, we're looking to work with three sets of people.
Okay.
First set of people are the ones that are thinking about whether to move to the US, planning to move to the US.
Okay. So
our job is to say, hey, these are the pros, these are the cons, the decision is left to you. So we're looking to work with people that are making the decision on whether or not to move to the US, help them with the application process and all that. We're also looking to work with people that are already in the US, say, people trying to find internship. For example, the most basic thing, the way you do your resume in Nigeria is different from the way you do your resume here. Interviews in Nigeria are different from interviews here. Job search strategy is different. So we're looking to work with those set of people in school, trying to get an internship, trying to decide, am I on the right course? So we want to do like a sort of mentorship program where we compare them with, that was one of the things that helped me. I met somebody who helped me once I graduated. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to work with people who are already here in school, don't know what to do, don't have the right plans, don't know what to do after school. And then we're looking to work with people who are already here. You can think that you've made it once you get a job or you get your papers, but I think it's not enough for us to just survive. We want members of our community to thrive. Mm. We want you guys to make money. We want you guys to be comfortable. So we're looking to work with those set of people and connect us with each other so that we can explore business opportunity, explore real estate, find out ways we can use the system to improve ourselves, to make money, to be better people. So yeah, people that are moving to the US, people already in US that are in school, and people that have graduated and settled down but are looking to do more and thrive with the help of community members.
Right. That's really important. Community is everything. Kemi, where can people find you guys? Like, do you guys have a website or are you only on Instagram right now?
We're actively working on our website now where people can contact us and share their ideas with us, because we have people like that reach out to us that, oh, can I help like with mentorship? And I like so many ideas, and we're just like, oh, we need to actually be serious about connecting people with other people. And
are you only looking to work with Nigerians?
Our target market is Africans, but we're open to working with anybody that wants to work with us.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you so much for talking with me and just sharing your vision for Just Move to Yankee platform. I know a lot of people would benefit from this. I'm no longer a student, but when I went through your page, I felt like, wow, you're onto something. It'll really take off and it'll be really good.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for your advice, Kemi. You said it's not all about passion. I can do anything I set my mind to. So growing up in Nigeria, you don't have that luxury of setting your mind to one thing, because that one thing may not work out, you know?
Sure.
So it's not like you can say, oh, I want to do music and it's only music I want to do. And if music doesn't work out, then that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like in Nigeria, subconsciously, we're kind of raised to be adapt and survive, basically.
Right.
And so like, if this is not working, like switch immediately, you know? If for me, I have things that I like and I'm passionate about, but I feel like I totally get it when you say, you know, have your passion, but also know that you have to survive. And you maybe also said something that was really important, like have a plan and have a reason for moving out here. I think that was incredibly powerful as well, because if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a reason, it'll be very difficult like to survive abroad. And that's just something that I really want, you know, people to think about. It's not, life is not roses, you know, it's not a bed of roses in America. It's difficult, you know. And before we go, I'm going to ask you guys about how you're dealing with COVID-19. I know you're no longer in school. You guys are probably working. Like, how has that impacted you, COVID-19? How's it impacted you, Dumebi?
Like everybody else, I've been working from home for the past month.
Okay.
My son has been out of daycare, so I've had to be a full-time worker and a full-time mom, juggling everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think for me, that has been the most difficult thing. And just the whole uncertainty, having to psych yourself up, give yourself pep talks, encourage yourself that everything will be okay. The numbers have been scary too. So it's really a weird situation.
Very weird.
I think I'm just taking everything in one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
My plan is to try to survive.
Right.
Maximize my strengths for post-COVID. I'm learning new skills. Who knows what's going to happen to my job? So I'm learning new skills and preparing for the aftermath of whatever is going to happen after this year.
Right. I didn't know you had a son, actually. How old is he?
He's one. Wow. We managed to celebrate the 1 year birthday just before they shut everything down.
Oh, you're a new mom too. Okay, well, I wish you the best with your son. And just, I know it's crazy. Everyone is complaining, but I can imagine just having a kid and having to juggle that as well. So
thank you.
I really hope everything works out for everyone. We're all just trying to figure this thing out. And
right.
Most importantly, just stay alive, you know, because that's the most important thing, you know.
Exactly.
After COVID-19, you know, life will continue and whatever comes, we will get through it. But the most important thing is to, you know, protect yourself and just preserve your health. And how about you, Kemi? Like, how are you coping? Like, hopefully, I hope you haven't lost your job or anything like that. What's it like for you?
Yeah. I'm just like, one thing I try to do every day, and I kind of want to build my relationship with God. And every day I'm always thankful. And recently they laid off people at my job. And I was just like, oh my God, like when I was on the call, I was just like, oh my God, like, you have to be thankful for the little things, the things that you're like, oh, you're taking for granted at times. Mm-hmm. You're just like, okay, I'll do this later and everything. So I'm thankful for the little things. And one thing again, like our page, Dumebi and I, we have like finance background and we're adding more of like financial tips to our page. And with this COVID-19, we're like, okay, what can people do to help them like through this COVID-19? Right. So that's where we're putting in our passion.
Right.
Like our passion, the page, and like our love for finance too. So yeah.
I find some of those tips helpful, especially the one where you guys talked about like if you should be paying off your debt at this time.
Right.
You even be making those credit cards, try to pay everything off, or just making the minimum payments. I feel like a lot of people are wondering about that. So that's really helpful. And you had another post where you guys talked about the companies that are hiring us. That was really helpful. And you guys must be taking a lot of time out just to find this stuff and just, you know, put it out there. And yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast to share a little bit of that with me. I really appreciate your time. And of course, I'll be having people head your way if they have more questions about the process of just moving out here for school. I just really appreciate you guys because no one really knows how much work you put into these things. And I think I have an idea. So thank you.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And my friend reached out to me about your EB2 visa like recently. And I'm like, oh, you need to go and follow her like and read about it.
Yeah.
You have an amazing page too. I was on your website yesterday. You do a lot of things and you do them very well.
Thank you.
You're very consistent.
Yes.
I try. So I really appreciate you guys because you're doing something great. And I'm going to put out this podcast because I want a lot of people to hear it. And I really feel like you guys have, you're onto something really, really good. So thank you so, so much. I really appreciate this.
Thank you. This is the first podcast that we've ever been on. So we'll definitely remember this.
All right. Thank you guys. And have an amazing day.
You too.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
Hey listener, what do you think about this episode? Do you have a question or some feedback that you would like to provide or a suggestion for a future guest? Now you can send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio messages that just might end up on a future episode of the podcast. You can send me a voice message right now just by clicking on the link in my show notes. Can't wait to hear from you.